Our reading from the gospel, we're going to go to the gospel lesson today. If you want to check out the New Testament lesson, is the latter verses of 1 Corinthians 15. But we're going to go to the gospel now, Luke 6, because I don't think I have any extra time. At verse 27, Luke 6, at verse 27. And you recall that a few weeks ago we started a portion of scripture that some people think might be the same as that of the Sermon on the Mount. And my understanding of the passage is that Jesus, as an itinerant preacher who would be speaking to different groups of people in different places and so forth, as instead of like the Sermon on the Mount, this is called the Sermon on the Plain, goes over some of the same material. This is shorter than what you find in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And it's got a little different start to it, as we spoke about 2 weeks ago. And now we're on a section where he speaks to us specifically about the Christian life. And we're going to be at verse 27, the word of our Lord. But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Thus far, the reading from God's holy word. The scripture for the sermon today is Luke chapter 6, at verse 27. We'll ask God's blessing on this time. Lord, we thank you that you call us to be quiet before you, to be still, know that you are God. We ask, Lord, today that we would be able to hear your word, that through the foolishness of preaching, we would be able to experience your commands coming to us for our sanctification and spiritual growth. And we ask, Lord, today that the word would be faithfully preached, and we pray that you would be our rock and our redeemer. Amen. These past number of years has been a challenge for people as our politics in this country have become so polarized. If you're a loyal Democrat and now you have a new president, it can be very difficult. We have what people claim to be Trump derangement syndrome, that whenever you actually hear the name of the person, you practically quiver. And ahead of that, if you were a loyal Republican, to watch what went on there, it was difficult in that you saw corruption and things happening in our government that shouldn't be happening. And it'd be very easy to hate people from the other side. We have this warning in John's letter, and you recall this is one of the themes of John's gospel, that we love one another, and it carries on into his letters to the church. And as he urges his church, the church, to love one another in his letters, he also gives us the flip side of that, where he said, anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and no murderer has eternal life. And he gives us the example of Cain, who hated his brother and killed him. And so Jesus and his Sermon on the Mount said we can't even be angry with our brother, to call him blockhead or fool. We are not to have that beginning of murder in our lives. And so we have this real stern warning on this in other places in God's Word. A couple of months ago, I had a phone call from someone that you don't know, someone from not around here, and it was in response to an email that I submitted, which was very neutral. There was nothing inflammatory in the email at all. But the person that called me up was carrying on in such a manner. I just stopped and listened. I could hardly believe it. And as I listened to the anger and the insults and the contempt and everything else that came out of this person's mouth on the other end of the telephone, I started to get the picture from my counseling background that this person had a personality disorder that I was able to define at that point, and that helped me deal with it. You know, that they had a problem, and so I was hearing this problem. But I have to tell you that even 2 months later, the insults still ricochet around in my head. I haven't completely gotten rid of them. And as I was thinking about this passage here where Jesus said, but I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. I was wondering if I'd been very obedient to what Jesus required. He says, love your enemies. I had a lady once who listened on radio. She wasn't a member of the church, but she talked to me and said, you don't have any enemies. Well, the enemy that's being talked about here is an enemy is those who persecute you. And in the previous verses, in verses 22 and 23. And so how do you respond to someone who mistreats you? If someone treats you unjustly? And so I'm thinking here today that there's a high percentage of you that have something in your background where you really wrestle with the notion of forgiving them, of forgiving these people that mistreated you. And a lot of people read this passage and they kind of set it aside as something for the real saintly people to aspire to, but they're not going to follow that. And Jesus said, but I tell you, hear me, love your enemies. No, that's a command. It's not advice. You're going to follow Jesus? Then you have to be a good soldier. And when the commanding officer gives you a command and you're under them, you don't have an option of defying them. You don't have an option to say, no, I don't think I'll do that. And Jesus goes back to that idea at verse 40, our final verse here. A student is not above his teacher. You're the student, he's a teacher. Do you think you're above him? You think you can evaluate and say no to what he requires of you? But everyone who's fully trained will be like his teacher. You'll be like Christ. Didn't you a few minutes ago pray in your hymn, Lord, I want to be like Jesus? All right, here's what he says. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. So when you think of these people and their injustice and bad behavior kind of ricochets around in your head and you have to deal with that from time to time, how do you respond to them? Jesus said, you do good to them. And this is not the teaching of the scribes in the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, well, that's not what the current teaching is. But I say to you, and the problem is when we face evil, that we face a spiritual danger of being overcome by evil. We face a danger of being evil ourselves in response. And so Romans 12 says, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil. We want to overcome evil, don't we? Overcome evil with good. And Jesus gives this metaphor of turning the other cheek, or, you know, it's a picture of handling an insult when somebody slaps your face, in other words, insults you in that manner. And this is what Jesus did in John chapter 18 during his trial. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. How do you bless your enemies? Well, when you think about that person and they come up in conversation, speak well of their good traits and don't express hatred. Romans 12 tells us how to bless our enemies. It said, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Do something good for them in their need. You know, maybe they won't be enemies anymore. God's going to put coals of fire on their head. Could be something good, could be something bad. Pray for those who mistreat you, who abuse you. Pray for them. So I think about how I handled this conversation that I spoke to you about. I would say, honestly, I did pray for that person sporadically, occasionally, probably not with much enthusiasm as I look back on it now, and not with any consistency. And one of the commentators going through this text said, here's what you need to do. Pray for that person every day for 30 days and see what happens. I haven't done that. You know, I need to practice what I'm preaching here, right? I need to listen up to what Jesus says to do. Pray for those who mistreat you. Now, the supreme example of that in the Bible is Luke in 23, where Jesus is being crucified. They pounded the nails into him, and they're either just about to lift him up on that with that crossbar to put him on the vertical beam, or they've already done it, and he prays, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Sometimes people talk about others being mistreated, that they were crucified. I never, ever use that metaphor because it's no comparison to what Christ went through. He was crucified, the nails put in his hand, he's feeling the pain, the supreme injustice, and he prays for his enemies. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Paul said that redemption was accomplished by Christ for us while we were enemies. We were the enemies of Christ. He is going to be our king. That's how we were living our life, but he died for us. We have the example of the first martyr, Stephen. As he was stoned in Acts chapter 7, and he was dying, and just before he lost consciousness, he prayed to God, to Christ, do not hold this sin against them. That's what unforgiveness is. When you don't let go of a sin, you hold it against them, and he just prays that God would not hold it, the sin of murder, against them. We remember the conversion of the person Saul, who was at this execution of Stephen. And he heard the prayer, and he went on to persecute God's people. "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Jesus said. And we see this prayer coming to pass in the life of Paul as he is converted and after Jesus arrests him on the road. Our Lord tells us to even be willing to share with others. He says in verse 30, "Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not ask, demand it back." In verse 35, "Love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And then your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High. He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." Now in Psalm 37, it tells us that the wicked borrow, and they do not repay. But we don't want to be doing that. But if it happens the other way around, where that happens to us, while the righteous give generously, we want to be on the side of those who follow the Lord Jesus and say, you know, the Lord's going to repay that. We have to give even when you think the money will never be repaid by that person. And so Jesus says, he said, "Be like your heavenly Father who is merciful. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great. You'll be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked." He is kind to the ungrateful, people that don't say thank you to him. He's kind to those who are evil. Think about Joseph, his brothers, what they'd done. It was so terrible to their own brother, all these years in prison. And we see this forgiveness. We see this work of grace in the heart of Joseph. And so Jesus said, as a disciple, you're following him, you're learning of Christ, you need to do more than what is only natural. You need to do more than follow your instinct. Verse 32, "If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. If you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners expecting to be repaid in full." That's what sinners do. They love their friends. They do good to those who do good to them. They lend to other sinners for payment. No spiritual accolades there. Jesus said, "But love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting anything back, and then your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." And we're so appreciative of that, that our Heavenly Father is merciful. So we need to be like him. We need to be merciful. And remember how God was so extremely merciful to you and forgiven you a lifetime of sin, forgiven you for the times that you were ungrateful for the many things that he showered in your life. And you say, "Well, okay, here's a requirement. And I need to be like my Father in heaven. But it's so difficult. I don't think I can do it." Well, you know what? You can't. You can't do it. And so you need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Not on yourself. You need to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to pray then, okay? Pray that God would help you to be merciful to this person who does not deserve it. And the promise then is that God will reward you. And not just a little bit. We're told, "Then your reward will be great." and you will be sons of the Most High. Because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. We have a parallel, of course, to the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, verse 1, where we're told, judge not. And a lot of people mistranslate that text to think that no sin can be identified or discerned. And as you look through Matthew 7, you see that Jesus calls for discernment after this in many different ways. You're going to have to discern this thing. You can't just turn a blind eye. This thing has when we evaluate other people's actions, we don't have the full report. We just only know in part. We don't know their personal struggles. Well, we know just a small part of the information. I think about when people are called for jury duty, and I've seen my name on the list a few times. I don't know about you, but I hope they don't call me. Right? I had one time where they called and said, oh, I settled, the morning of it. Oh, man, I don't have to do that. I don't know how you feel about it, but, you have to invest time and, you have to be willing to make that right judgment. And, it's very inconvenient. Well, you don't want to do that with people that you really don't understand what's going on. And so Martin Luther tells us, be careful not to measure your holiness by other people's sins. You can find people that are worse than you, big deal. You judge that they're worse than you are. Don't be conceited. Don't be Mr. Self-Conceit here. And don't misuse the text, because there's the duty of a Christian teacher is to rebuke false doctrine. You have to know right from wrong. But you don't condemn others in verse 37. Do not judge, you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. All right, so you don't go around condemning people, because you don't want people to do that to you. And Jesus goes on to say, forgive, and you will be forgiven. Again, the Old Testament supreme example of that is Joseph. And whatever's gone on in your life and whatever injustice there's been there, I doubt that anything measures up to all those years in jail or be sold into slavery by your family. And look what Joseph did. Forgive others so that you will be forgiven. Forgive and you will be forgiven. How Jesus hammers on this. Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, 7, where he gives us the Lord's Prayer and tells us that we need to forgive. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then at the end of the prayer, he goes back and uses the word trespasses. If you forgive anyone their trespasses, then God will forgive your trespasses. If you don't forgive other people their trespasses, then God won't forgive your trespasses. He goes back after the prayer and makes that point. So if you think you're going to not forgive people, that's a very dangerous situation as a Christian. It's an absolute requirement. And the promise is that you're going to get back what you dish out. Verse 38, give and it will be given to you a good measure, pressed down. I think about my grandma after we were first married. She was giving my wife instructions how to make pancakes. And she said, you get your measuring cup and you get your pancake flour and you pour it in there and you take your spoon and you go across and that's a cup. You don't go like that in the flour and pack it in there so it's more than a cup. Well, here's what's being done here. Given will be given to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be poured into your lap. Now, how do you want to get that? Do you want to get that from something that you've done that was bad, condemnatory, unmerciful, when people didn't measure up, you were unmerciful to them. You know what's going to happen? You're going to get it back. People are going to be unmerciful to you. But if you're merciful to them, more than likely, you're going to get back mercy. And so Jesus gives us this teaching, for with the measure you use will be measured to you. And can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they both not fall into a pit? You better follow the Lord here, not this human teaching, because the student is not above his teacher, but everyone fully trained will be like his teacher. So at the heart of all this is in verse 31, where Jesus says what is the form of the golden rule: do to others as you would have them do to you. And so in that situation, whatever it is, if it's hard, if it's unjust, if you need to show mercy, if you would be in the other person's shoes, do to others as you would have them do to you. In other words, treat others the way you want to be treated. If we look at this text, we acknowledge that hatred is a spiritual poison, unacceptable to Christ, and you'd be so much better off and healthy if you had none of it in your life. Hatred gets in the way of the mission of the gospel, and our contest is not with flesh and blood, not with people, not with flesh and blood, but with spiritual forces of evil. That's what the scriptures tell us in Ephesians 6. And so practice mercy and obey Christ. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the wisdom of our Lord Jesus and for the example of his life. Help us to indeed be like him. And we pray that others would see your mercy in us, in our responses. And we pray that we would be able to receive back the good things of your grace. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.